I would say the biggest question that we all should be asking, and I see in our community around the world, all the entrepreneurs asking is what next?
On this episode of The Playbook, we're going gold mining. That's right. With the nugget dropper, Roger James Hamilton. He's an author, educated, and super entrepreneur, has his own podcast as well. We are going to drop nuggets and bombs left and right. You're going to learn more on this than probably any other playbook we've ever done. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
And I am so excited because I have what I call a superpreneur. A superpreneur is not only someone that's successful themselves, but are capable of empowering others to be successful in an entrepreneurial journey, which is not easy. Roger James Hamilton is an author, educator, and as I mentioned, superpreneur. Welcome to The Playbook, Roger.
Hi, great to be here, David. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, it's so awesome. You're an international celebrity and entrepreneur. One of the most intriguing things is we share a blend, and the blend, what I call, is that of this ferocious Buddha. You are a persistent, consistent, fierce, you know, unbelievable entrepreneur, but you figured out how to blend in allowance. And I know we share our favorite books together because you actually had a spinoff of Think and Grow Rich called Wink and Grow Rich years ago, which I actually read. It's an international bestseller. Let's start with the most difficult question. How do we blend as entrepreneurs our natural personalities to be pit bulls, ferocious, unstoppable, a desire to be what we must be, but have the patience to allow it to happen? Because as you know, I don't believe there's anything true about being an overnight success. It just meant you start, or if you're young and successful, what I find is it meant you start when you were really young.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And to your point, there is this Zen saying, which is in nature, nothing is rushed and all is accomplished. And it's kind of interesting that more businesses fail by the entrepreneurs pushing them too hard and they end up overexpanding or overtrading versus those that actually don't move fast enough. So I think it's really interesting that there is a pace. And I think, you'll know this and you know it with the people you interview as well. Those people that have got just the right pace in the business, which fits their personality and their business, and knowing when you build a team, you've got to change the pace, right? And as you actually start building the orchestra, then you've actually got to realize there's different rhythms upon rhythms that happen as well. So that's one of the big things that happened in my life, was realizing that very, very first step, which is self-awareness. There's rules to the game with that as well. We've got a whole bunch of assessment programs like Wealth Dynamics, Talent Dynamics, where Richard Branson will be thinking much faster and taking bigger risks than someone like a Warren Buffett. So understanding what your personality type is and what team you need to build around you allows you to not go too fast or too slow, because either one of them is going to kill the business.
And you're known for those extraordinary assessment tests that avail, an awareness to what these personality traits are and how to utilize them. One of the key questions that I have is, can we develop, can a Warren develop, like Warren Buffett develop a quicker thinking process, and can Richard slow down, or can Dave Meltzer slow down for that matter? Because, I wrote the book Game Time Decision Making on, I believe in refocusing. Can we develop, even when we're older, these skills that may not be quantum within our nature?
This is what's really interesting. What I've seen with leaders is that you can definitely develop the awareness of knowing when you're going too fast or too slow, or when the industry is speeding up or slowing down, because everything goes through seasons. However, why would Warren Buffett want to try and figure out how to take more risks when he's got a winning formula, which actually works really well for him? And he himself has said, what makes me analytical as a strength is also what makes my public speaking a weakness, right? Or, you'll find a lot of people who are very extrovert and they'll be great at, going out there like an Oprah Winfrey and shining their light. Why should she have to figure out how to get good at spreadsheets and the detail? Because you can always hire someone to do that job. So I think there's a really important part. There's a saying which is, everyone's born a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll go for its whole life thinking it's stupid. Everything that we're focused at is the education system. And too much of the education system is about people that are a genius in one thing. And because they're told they should go and focus on that weakness because they're not so good at certain things, they then spend all their time trying to work on the weakness and they never actually get their genius to ignite where it needs to ignite as well. That's my biggest thing I'd say for everyone listening right now. And it's definitely been my, you know, biggest focus in my life, is making sure everyone ignites their own genius and doesn't go out trying to be someone that they're not.
You know, it's so funny because my previous career in sports was so easy to indicate to people what their genius was. You know, if somebody would tell me my genius was playing basketball, I could tell them that's kind of counterintuitive and counter quantum to my nature, or asking Tom Brady to be a running quarterback would have ruined his entire career. But it's so funny within the entrepreneurial aspect, you know, you've had the Wealth Dynamic Personality Test. Over 250,000 people have been tested. How many of those people, because it's not as obsequious as an athlete, you know, like a Dave Meltzer trying to be a professional basketball player, you know, here we have so many people that may not be suited for what the journey they put themselves on. How do we help to, after they've taken the Wealth Dynamic Profiling Test, say, look, this is how you should adjust to be an expression of God, to illustrate and to acknowledge your genius, because we are all superpowered and we all are geniuses. We, you know, I always say you could take a weakness, move it to a different place, and it becomes a strength. And I want to help entrepreneurs move their weaknesses to new places where they become strengths.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the story of Michael Jordan, just talking about sport for a moment, and the fact that it was actually his return to basketball in the 1990s, after baseball. It was when he was really at his greatest, right? And there was definitely an element of the fact he always had the skill set there, clearly, because he was already one of the greatest basketball players, you know, back in the 1980s. But after saying, well, look, if I can do it in basketball, then why don't I just give baseball a shot? And when he gets into baseball, and, you know, of course, he's still in major league, but it's not at the same level as he was in basketball. And his decision to say, you know what, not only am I better suited for basketball than baseball, but for a whole bunch of other reasons, I'm going to just cut off the bridges of saying I might just go off and do another sport. I'm just going to just focus on basketball. And it was that absolute certainty that you're doing what you're meant to be doing. I think the biggest problem with a lot of entrepreneurs, not just those who already have started a business, but those who right now are in this crisis and trying to figure out, I've lost my job. I don't have an easy way to go out and get another one. I've got to figure out how to be an entrepreneur right now. That too often, two things happen. The first one is we're not certain what we should be doing. It's like, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Once you know your natural path, it's very obvious whether you should be doing one thing than another thing, right? Like, I'll give you one example of that. You know, one of the entrepreneurs I was mentoring, a woman in Czech Republic called Radka, she went to Harvard Business School. She was working at McKinsey's. She left the role at McKinsey's because she got married and moved to Eastern Europe and to Czech Republic. And when she went there, she took a course on online digital sales. Like, how do I actually get a website going and just get something started where I can make money the way that other people are saying they can make money? And she has a profile that we call a Blaze Genius, which is someone who's really good at people. She loves having conversations with people. And she was now trying to figure out how to do websites and so on. And she was totally like, okay, this is not working at all. I had one call with her where I'm saying, you're doing totally the opposite of what you should be doing. You're trying to multiply when you should be magnifying. And if you were just, like, how much you want to make this year? She goes, 100,000 euros, which I think is now maybe, what, 140,000 US dollars for the whole year. That's what she wanted to earn. I said, all right, could you think of 10 people you could bring together on your mission? And her mission was bringing women leadership to the Czech Republic. Could you think of 10 people that would be willing to just pay you 14 grand each to come into a group and actually just meet up every 2 weeks with other top CEOs, women CEOs out there? She goes, I think I could do that. She did that within 2 weeks, that she got straight away using her genius to be able to actually develop and actually get to where she wanted to get to. And I think for me, that is the key thing. Once you're certain that you're on the right path, then you don't go and try and do a bunch of stuff you shouldn't be doing. And the second thing is we all need a team. And if you don't know what you should be doing, you also don't know what you shouldn't be doing. And so you spend your whole time trying to do too much. And that's usually the biggest pitfall of every entrepreneur, is that they're actually not delegating enough of what they shouldn't be doing to other people. And so for both those two reasons, knowing what it is that is your genius and then following that is the first of the three steps that are in my playbook when it comes to being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, one of the other things in your playbook that we share is not only delegation of support system, but asking for help from those who already sit in a situation that we want to be in, those who already may have possessed the directions to where we want to go. And, you know, whether it's starting a business or scaling a business, it seems in your playbook to be an essential part of finding those people. what strategy do you take in that radical humility of both delegation, but also more importantly in mentorship, or at least in, you know, some sort of superior humility of asking and finding?
I think one of the biggest challenges of entrepreneurship today is people aren't sure, is this an academic practice or is this more of a physical practice? Is this more like a sport or is this more like basically learning a subject at school? And so the reason that's so such a big issue is that if you think about it as an academic thing, academics need to know in order to do. You've got to kind of go through all the details to get there and you pretty much got to do it yourself. In fact, you wouldn't even think of going and basically, you know, asking for help from others because that's called cheating when you're doing the exam. Whereas someone who's in a sport, they wouldn't ever dream of actually learning how to play football by just reading books on football. They wouldn't do that. They'd actually go out there, play the game and get around other people who are already at the same level they want to be at as well. So the most important thing is not just thinking about entrepreneurship from the point of view of, you know, as you say, radical humility of I need to learn from other people. It's knowing that, you know, academics, which is all about needing to know in order to do, is the opposite of entrepreneurship and sport, which is needing to do in order to know. Like it's, you're actually going to get the knowledge not by actually thinking you know it or thinking you have to do it on your own. You're only going to get it by playing with others at the level that you want to be playing at, which means don't start by being the captain of your own team, wondering why no one's coming to play with you. Start by going and joining someone else's team at the right level, learn from them, and eventually start your own team from there. So I think that's a really important part. Like, you know, when you think about having a mentor, whenever I'm starting anything new, I won't start by just saying, I've got to do this on my own. I'll start by saying, who are the people not only that I'd want to have mentoring me, but actually playing the game with me, kicking the ball to me, right? Like, because they're already out there playing the game themselves. How can I partner with them in a way that's of value to them versus just going to them, asking them to help me, right? And because they're all playing their own game. Every mentor out there is playing a game and they all need help. So what is it I can do to help them that's going to actually just get me all that natural mentoring coming my way as well? And I think that's a really important approach that everyone should be taking. When they're thinking about their own business, you're always part of a bigger industry and a bigger game.
Yeah. And you articulate the collaboration and coordinated movement so well within the context of how we can be fulfilled and successful and express that genius. But within that, there's a reconciliation that also takes place, which is being yourself. And I think, you know, being authentic, or I talk about finding your own frequency. But, you know, there is this path of resistance of, you know, wanting what other people want for us, wanting what we don't want for us, wanting what's missing for us, and then getting all three of those and wondering why we're where we're at. Being yourself is really important. You know, where should and when should we be ourselves within the context of, you know, being an entrepreneur?
I think the one biggest challenge about that self-awareness and self-mastery, which is the second step on being yourself, is who we are is ever changing. So I see many people being their past self, meaning they wake up every day with all of the things that they can't do and all of the limits that they already had when they went to bed yesterday, versus waking up as their future self, which is the person that actually they're going to be in 5 or 10 years time, right? And so when you're talking about being true to yourself, when I'm doing my mentoring or on all the programs we run in Genius Group, we don't start by saying, who are you or who were you? We start by saying, who do you want to become? What is the person you're going to be? How do you become true to that person? Because that person probably will be reading different books than the one you're reading. They'll be hanging out with different people than the ones you're hanging out with. They'll have different beliefs than the ones you have. So if you're not clear on who that person is, then of course you're going to keep on getting stuck being who you are. And that the part of our brains that actually needs to be wired to be tuned into the future self is the part which works with our vision, right? Because you can take any entrepreneur, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, they all are visionaries. Even Warren Buffett, he's a visionary. He's just got a different way his mind works, but he has a very clear picture of where he wants to be. Most of us, we don't have as strong a vision as we have memory. And it's the same part of the brain that's using both. It's the visualization part of the brain and the frontal cortex that creates vision and creates memory. At school, we get tested on our memory all the time. So it's all about like, well, what do we remember from the past versus the future? And if you're having an interview with someone, don't ask them about their resume. Don't ask them about their past. You can look at it, but ask them more about the future. And if they come and work with you, what would they do in your business 5 years from now? Where would they want to be? And you'll get a very clear picture very quickly, whether you have people that are thinking about the vision and where they're going. So being true to yourself is all about being true to your future self, not being true to your future past self. And that's the difference of education and mastery.
I love that. And my favorite saying is, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. And imagination seems to be the connective tissue between the past and the future. And I always say living, you know, not like Camus' myth of Sisyphus. So many people live that life, like you talk about, you know, pushing a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down for the next day, instead plateauing and growing by using that connective tissue. One of the other connective tissues that's really important that you talk about is communication. And I don't think a lot of people understand effective communication to better understand where we want to go, who we want to be. What are some of the things that you've learned about communicating within and also outside?
I think one of the biggest challenges with communication, which I think most people in the world would agree on, is everyone's talking over each other. We're seeing this in politics right now. We're seeing this. Everyone's basically, you know, like turning on their radio station and not even listening to what other radio stations are, or more importantly, what's needed for the future, because we all have our own, like, you know, corner of the pitch that we're trying to defend for ourselves. So I think that there is a whole element around how even we redefine work. For most of us, we think of work as some kind of paid productivity. And if that's the case, well, then we have got these communication tools like the internet. We have AI, we have robotics, we have all of these different mechanisms that can actually be far more productive than we can, which means we're all gonna be out of work, right? And we're seeing so many people out of work today because, and they're thinking, how can I get paid for my productivity again? And maybe those days are over. Whereas if we redefine work as not paid productivity, but paid self-expression, we're seeing YouTubers right now, we're seeing Instagrams, we're seeing kids that are actually making millions because they found a way to express themselves uniquely in terms of who they are, uniquely towards the audience that they're going for as well. So when we talk about self-awareness, it's not just about, you know, what is your profile when we talk about something like wealth dynamics. We talk about something that the Japanese have, which is called ikigai. And ikigai is the basis of four things, which is number one, what are you good at, which is your genius. Number two, what do you love, which is your passions. Number three, what does the world need, which is your purpose. And finally, what do you get paid for, right? Which is your vocation. And those four things have to come together. You can't be passionate about one thing and then go to work and hate it. You have to be doing something where you're passionate, where it's purposeful, so it's meaningful, so you're going to keep on doing it if things are tough, where it's your genius, so you can actually build a team around it, and you're going to get paid for it as well. And the way people get paid for stuff today is totally different from what it was 5 years ago. So communication is about knowing that when you know what you're passionate about, you know what your purpose is, and you know what your natural genius is. Are you more of a visual communicator? Are you more of a auditory communicator? Are you more kinesthetic? You know, are you more analytical? Knowing your communication style and knowing how to connect with other people at their communication style. We use these tools for even parents connecting with their kids in ways they've never connected before, because they were trying to share in a way that they thought was the right way, which was the total opposite of the way that that child actually communicates. So communication is not just about how do you project, it's also about how do you receive.
Obviously, you've been dropping bombs and nuggets throughout the entire podcast, and I can't wait to listen to yours to see the bombs and nuggets. But I always like to ask at the end, if I have someone as dynamic expressing their genius as you have, you know, what didn't I ask you? What nugget would you like to share with us that I didn't ask about?
Well, thanks for asking that. You've asked some great questions, and it's great just having this conversation. Hopefully it's been of value to everyone listening. I would say the biggest question that we all should be asking, and I see in our community around the world, all the entrepreneurs asking is what next? Like, where are we going in the world today? And more importantly, what part can we each have to play within that as well? And I think that one of the biggest parts of all of this is re-education. This is why everything we do in Genius Group is about the education system is pretty broken right now, which is why we're in the situation that we're in. And the education crisis leads to the jobs crisis. We got too many people out of a job. And if we all knew how to create a job as opposed to have to go get one, then we'd not just create one for ourselves, we'd create for others around us as well, which is why we all need to be thinking entrepreneurially. So re-education is about, how do I recreate what I think about my future in such a way I don't have to wait for the politicians or for the big corporations to dictate what it's going to be like for me? How do I actually design it for myself? I have a future vision of who I want to be. And I know anything is possible, because whatever it is that anyone listening to this is thinking right now about what's stopping you, guaranteed there's someone else right now out there in the world who is already making more money than you, is already having more fun than you, is already probably doing all the stuff that you want to be doing, but they're not as smart as you, and they're not as hardworking as you, and they're probably younger than you, right? Like, so what is going on that some people have figured this out and others haven't it's not the old education system. It's about our ability to be self-aware and to be around the right people we want to play the game with. And all of us have that opportunity to do that if we choose to.
Excellent point. And I'll have to get you in touch with David McCord, who wrote the book Rethink, which is talking about how to actually rethink, refocus these great institutions worldwide for the great transformation that is going to occur in the next 5 years. Wow, this was power-packed, no doubt, with the amount of books you've written, with the amount of people that you've helped, with the assessments that you've done in the empowerment work and enlightenment. What an unbelievable interview and playbook that you've shared with us, Roger. This is Dave Meltzer with Roger James Hamilton, the great author, educator, entrepreneur, has his own podcast called Roger's Entrepreneur Podcast, which I have many people I want on there for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.